All right, sure. Yeah, I'll do the roll call.
Thank you.
It is 7:03. Lisa Gillis.
Here.
Eric Simon.
Here.
Beth Chang.
Here.
Carrie McLean.
Here.
Susan Charette. Shannon Roberts.
Here.
Lauren Behan.
Here.
Ellie Ray.
All right, sweet. So I think we have everybody.
Yeah, we do. And it's like we don't have any public comment. So we'll go to the adoption of the meeting minutes from August 11th. If there's not any questions, I'll just go ahead and take the vote unless you have a question.
I have a question.
Yes.
So it's under the community aggregation update. It's number 5.
Okay.
And it says, well, the second line says only 6% have opted out as of Friday. And so it's this next sentence that I find confusing. It says 1,998 would need to opt out. So 120 of those opted out. Do you see that?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not sure what that means.
I guess I assumed that it meant that that's how many could opt out, but that I didn't do the math to see if 100 whatever was 6% of that larger number, but I guess I made that assumption. But good for you for paying attention.
Well, here's the part I don't understand is the 1,998 would need to opt out. I guess if I were to focus in, that's the part I don't understand. Would need to opt out for what to happen?
Was that for it to be, to still be viable with MC squared? Or to get the credit?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Hmm. Okay, so I think we should just clean that up because I find it confusing.
All right. Yeah, I don't even know if it's necessary to even have that in there.
Yeah, we could just take that out.
Yeah, because it's kind of confusing, and we'd have to backtrack to figure out what we were talking about at that moment. So,
take it out. What I sort of assume was they were thinking about 2,000, but I don't. I'm just assuming. I don't know what.
If we
take that out
of something, but I don't want to.
Then I have no problem.
Okay, I'll just remove that sentence.
Okay.
Okay, so can we adopt the minutes without that sentence?
Right. So I'll just take the vote and say we're adopting without that sentence.
Okay, do we need someone to, we need a motion.
I'll motion that we adopt the minutes without that one sentence.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Yay!
Yay!
Anybody against?
Okay.
Okay. All right. So why don't we go around and do commissioner reports? Anybody volunteer?
I can start. This is Lauren. I'm sad to say that I am in the same place that I was last month. Unfortunately, just got caught up with other things, but I think I've got everything well situated now at the home front. And we'll be able to spend more time focusing on pushing the stuff forward. And I do plan to attend a meeting on, it's on my calendar, Lisa, that you had sent to me on September 29th. Let me pull that up real quick. What is that for? Composting in Illinois. How to get your community composting in Illinois. So I'll be able to report back next month on information learned at that meeting.
Awesome, thank you.
I can go. I've been really educating myself on our Healthy Lawn program, and I think we need signs made which has a cost to them, which I don't know. Lisa reached out to, was it Julie Moeller, Lisa?
Yes, because she.
I haven't heard, but as far as I know, there might only be 25 signs left. And so, which may be enough, I don't know. But at some point, I think we probably need to get more signs. The other question I have is when I spoke with the Midwest Grows Green, Daniel or Ryan.
Yep.
So Midwest Grows Green, when you opt into their program, you get a monthly to-do list. And I know we only go through us, like our residents, they sign up with us with their email addresses.
Yes.
But I think it would be a real good information thing if they got these things from Midwest Grows Green. It's a monthly newsletter on what you do this month to have a healthy lawn. But I just didn't know, since none of our, you know, advertising or speaking with them, it sounds like, said that we would share their emails with Midwest Grows Green. I don't know if we can do that in the future and then try to reach out, because all Ryan would need is really like a spreadsheet, and he could put all those email addresses in, and then they would get a monthly newsletter reminding them and what they can do. It's like just information. And I never think information is bad. I just didn't know if that's something we can do, or if we as a group want to do it, or how to go about doing it.
I think we have to ask them. Because I don't
ask
know.
Each.
I think we have to send an email and have them opt, or actually give, we could give the email list to Midwest Grows Green, but they have to use it to, like, for permission. They basically have to say, please give us permission to have you get this monthly email. We could not.
I mean, I could draft a letter and just make, you know, I could email all those people. I don't know if you have a group email or not already. Lisa, do you have a group email going, or do you manually put those emails in every day, or every time you send out those?
I do a BCC because yeah. We have to do BCC, so we don't share their emails, and I just do it.
So you already have a group,
yeah,
of email. Okay, so I mean, I'd be happy to reach out, but given the fact that you got a very low response of, you know, the last time of all the people that are in the program, but then I could say we want to do this, you know, it's a great resource. If you don't want this, yes, then please let us know and we won't send them your email addresses. I don't know. So, or I can just create a group email also with, I think there's 138 people.
Yeah, if you want to send me the email and then I can email it to everybody as a BTC and copy you, or you could.
And then I don't know what paperwork they actually sign up with us. I haven't seen that, but even if we at the beginning say we will be sharing your email with Midwest Grows Green, it's a great resource, a monthly newsletter will come, you know, and give you handy tips on what you should be doing, you know, then that will alleviate this in the future if this seems like a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd have to look into what they're currently signing. I mean, we can look online because it is online.
Oh, yeah, it's an online. I did look that up, yeah.
And there is, though, an offline version that I'd have to check to see if they've agreed to that in the future. But I think that we can, two things. One, if it's not on there, we should add it. And for those people that are already on our list, we should ask them and certainly turn over the emails and make it Midwest Grows Green's challenge to continue to communicate with them. I mean,
we get
emails like, what do I do? What do I use? It would be great if we can connect them to the source and get out of the
Yeah, room. That's what I thought. I thought, wow, this seems like an easy thing just to do that.
Yep.
And then I did have a conversation with the Deep Roots guy. He's really great, man. He's really a go-getter. And I'm wondering, I couldn't find anything about River Forest's policy. Did they adopt anything like Evanston's? You had sent me all the Evanston policies. Do we have anything like that in River Forest?
We do not. And that's a whole thing from the Deep Roots Project, because Deep Roots Project is more about native planting. The Evanston thing is more about some sort of formal business sustainability program.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we do not have anything like that thus far.
Okay. And then, you know, so much of these, just the what you have even on that schedule with education, I guess, when we're able to do things like that again, that will get up and running, right? You know, like at the library and things like that. So
yes.
after COVID time, then we can do that.
Yes. Although keep in mind that right now we are a working committee, so we would be the ones that would have to keep that moving forward. But this mm-hmm. year has certainly been a hiatus
mm-hmm.
because of everything going on.
Okay. That's all.
Okay, the next person.
I don't really have any meetings to report on, so later in the agenda I'll talk about River Forest tree trails.
Perfect.
My report is that Beth doesn't have anything to talk about this meeting. That's all I have.
I can go next. I'll report on the Planet Green meeting from August. And I'm just going to focus on the things that affected River Forest. So Gary Kunin brought up the Village of River Forest Maywood Covenant. And he reached out to Kathy Aducci to inquire into including Maywood in Planet Green initiatives. And Kathy was very receptive to that. It also came up later on in the meeting that Maywood might be a good fit for the Illinois Solar for All program. And so I think people are looking into that as well. That's where solar installations are installed in lower income communities as a way to help them generate income. Well, this was just a little feedback. When I reported on the MC Squared aggregation program, David Pope, who used to be the village manager of Oak Park, commented that when Oak Park negotiated with MC Squared, they did not allow it to cherry pick, these are his words, to cherry pick customers. And he suggested we take that into consideration if we renew it in 2 years. So that was his point of view. Amy Barducci of It's Our Future was looking for opportunities for students to get involved outdoors. And so I suggested the tree trails. And so maybe that's something that you'd like to pursue with her, Ellie. Sorry, my rice is cooked. The Parkways for Pollinators program is winding down. There's two more installed this week, and then there's just two more out there. We had a goal to have five installed at schools or churches or other institutions, and those have just taken a little bit longer to negotiate because there's more layers of people who have to approve and more opinions about where they should go and everything, but that should be wrapped up soon. And then the last thing I just wanted to say was in the latest Willard newsletter, the Green for Good listed the tree trails as an at-home activity that families could do with their children. So that was some nice publicity for that. And maybe it was at Lincoln too, but I don't get their newsletter.
It was at Lincoln too.
Okay, awesome.
Made me smile.
Is there a way, Susan, you and I need to connect to get those 20 new gardens onto the climate victory garden thing? I did actually add them to our list for the award that I need to submit this evening.
Okay.
I just remembered I didn't do that yet for for the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District. What Julie had said in the past, Julie, Katie, and Sue Crothers, is it's important when we do all these grants to have all the stuff publicly out there. And that's an easy way to, you know, kind of do that. So it's pretty easy to do. So if you want to, you know, kind of be an email, we can schedule some time.
Absolutely.
We'll get them in there.
Because
then it becomes like a public validation of what we're doing more than anything else.
Sure.
Okay. Shannon, do you want to go?
I can go next.
Okay, Ellie.
Oh, sorry. Did you say Shannon?
It's okay, Ellie.
Yeah, but go ahead, Ellie.
Okay. I'm sorry. So I haven't been working that much on tree trails because it's pretty much like not done, but relatively. And then for It's Our Future, we're working on our presentation to the board about the Composting Act. And that's it.
Awesome. Shannon, do you want to go?
Yeah. So I wasn't able to attend last month, but kind of since July, Beth and I have been chipping away at wrapping up the carbon inventory. And we made a lot of progress. I think we've done a lot of, and this is all hats off to Beth. We were able to kind of tick and tie, you know, our methodology around trees and have a good handle around trees, which Beth also, you know, so greatly and smartly tied with Ellie into the tree activity. So I actually, you know, I kind of think we're at a pretty good place, and kind of the next step is just figuring out how we're going to kind of package and publish the inventory. So, you know, I'm kind of compiled our data set, you know, looking at it, and then, you know, kind of thinking about how we want to move to the next step so that we can be sharing it and what we want it to look like, you know, every year and things like that. So Beth and I are meeting later this week, but Lisa, I think it's probably time that maybe we meet with you as well to kind of think about wrapping up the carbon inventory so that we can also publish that later this year. Talk about all the good things that have happened this year. And then, you know, I think we could also move to kind of that next metrics piece that we have on the docket for this year that we wanted to get done. So
just let me know when. And actually, why don't both of you talk about your conversation with Bob Zimmerman?
Ooh. Beth, do you want to talk?
Andy.
Yeah, I don't know how many of you saw, Bob Zimmerman is a resident in River Forest. I don't know how many of you saw his post on the Facebook page where he basically gone through and calculated the benefits of the tree, the 47 trees that he said are either on his property or adjacent, which seems like a huge number, but anyway, he used a tool called iTree, and you know, you can plug in all the characteristics of your trees, and he has like, it comes at, gives you sort of like this nutrition label, sort of that says how much stormwater is absorbed, you know, how many pollutants or how much carbon stored, et cetera, all this stuff. And he posted it on the Village Facebook. And I guess my next step with him is to, I want to actually add it to the trees website as an additional place where people can find it. And he's willing, if somebody is interested in, you know, doing that methodology for the trees on their block, to kind of walk them through how to do it. The companion piece to that is that what I worked on with Shannon in terms of the overall impact of river forest trees is the Chicago Region Trees Initiative that is based out of the Arboretum and a collaboration with Openlands has calculated for like all the municipalities in the Chicago region the you know, the figures on carbon and stormwater and all this kind of stuff. And so we were able to extract two things. One is Eric helped turn the information about the carbon that is stored annually by river forest trees through new growth into that fun fact on the website about however many millions of phones it would charge and all that kind of stuff. But for purposes of the inventory, we're also, you know, kind of crediting that 514 metric tons of carbon stored a year against the overall inventory. And I guess going forward, as we think about trees, it depends, you know, if we're talking only about emissions, then we focus on the carbon part. If we're talking generally about trees, then of course there's all the other benefits like the stormwater absorbed that, you know, helps with flooding and, you know, absorption of pollutants and the shade that reduces energy costs. So for me, I I want my next thing is to figure out with Shannon is how to tell the story, the main story that we want to tell around greenhouse gas emissions and what we're doing to reduce that. But there's this other sort of partially overlapping story about the trees, right, that go beyond the emission benefits. So there's a lot of kind of anybody who's feeling super geeky and wants to, you know more, there's a lot of data put out by CRTI that even converts those benefits into dollar amounts and things like that. And I think we need to think about how to tell the story in some interesting way. And I haven't figured out what that is yet. I think we're sort of in the let's try to understand the data phase. So that's coming next. And anybody who's interested in brainstorming together about that and, you know, figuring out ways to tell the story, just let me and Shannon know.
But what's kind of really cool, what I think is really cool about this is we've all like independently come to the same conclusion about where the data should come from, which is this iTrees site. And it all seems to make sense. And it's very well done and feels like it's something we could put in our carbon inventory. Because it was something that we had been doing independent, like we've been researching kind of since earlier this year, how to pull in trees in the right way. So from a nerd data perspective, we're very excited that we figured that piece of the puzzle out for our inventory. So,
and I'm kind of excited that we pulled in a resident. Actually, it's somebody on Keystone. I think actually, Eric, he lives across the street from you or down from you. Is it 906 Keystone?
I don't know the address. I thought he said Iowa and Keystone.
Yeah, Iowa and Keystone. It is.
I basically live on Iowa and Keystone.
Yeah. Across the street from you. He's the house. Do you know the house that has all of the black-eyed Susans around its tree in the parkway?
Yes.
That's his house.
Oh.
So he's a neighbor and a friend, and he actually was very gracious because I did stalk him a little bit because
to get his phone number, yeah.
He posted on Facebook, and then I sent it to Beth, who's like, I'd like to talk to him. And so I did do some research, and I found out where he lived, and I did send him, I dropped off an official letter from the River Forest Sustainability Commission asking him if he would mind if we reached out. He said yes, so that's how we got to him.
So yeah, he actually got, it could be a very fantastic resource, because besides just being, you know, having done this deep dive into trees, he serves on the boards of a couple of national park organizations out in the West, because he used to live out there, the Joshua Tree, whatever park board association, and the Mojave Desert association. And he also has experience volunteering as a docent with kind of school age kids. So that's why when I talked to him, I thought, well, wouldn't this be great if we could sort of put, I don't want to put his name on the website, but I want to say, look, here's a resident, or, you know, I can say Bob Zimmerman has calculated all this. And if you want to calculate, you know, the benefit of the trees on your block, let us know. And then we can put people like, you know, in touch with him behind the scenes. So I think he's a great resource. When we talk later about tree trails, I think my question is just sort of how do we get people to take advantage of these things? So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, he's an amazing person who's very, like, he's a resident that's very excited to participate, and we need residents to help us. So, you know, so the question is, how do we kind of tap into that enthusiasm and expertise, in his zone? So that's something we have to kind of figure out. So I think I can end, because I think we all went. And basically, I did want to, like, talk about Bob, and so we talked about him. Also, I've been working on the award for the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District submission. Okay, I initially thought it was a grant. I was after the money. It might just be an award, but I will submit it. And then we can use the document that we created for future submissions. I mean, at the end of the day, like, once you do one, we should be able to do the next one and the next one and the next one. So I will make sure to get that in today. And basically, it's a submission for, again, for award, but I did update our native plant Excel spreadsheet. So we now have over 28,000 square feet of native plantings, just based on the incremental Pollinator for Parkway program. We probably should check in to see if the you know, if the park district did anything this year, incremental. John, I don't know if the if Public Works did anything. Did they plant anything extra this year? Or are we just maintaining last year's stuff?
This year, no, I don't think there was anything additional this year.
Yeah, which is fine, because last year was a big year for us. So, like, we do have that spreadsheet. It's on Google Work.
The park district added, you know, the sledding hill at Keystone?
Mm-hmm.
That all seems to be native planting, but I don't, maybe we should check. I don't know if that's permanent or if it was done in a sort of restorative way because that area gets so ruined. I don't know if it matters, but anyway, the whole hill seems to be, you know, coming towards the field. Last year they had the side of the hill sort of going up to the train, but this year it's the whole front of the hill and it's a big space.
Yeah, I think you'd have to ask because we did it last year. So I think we'd have to look at the last year's square footage.
Yeah, no, it's new. It's new. It wasn't there last year.
Yeah. So we would have to talk to Mike Sletton to see what he, like, basically say, okay, this is what it was last year. Like, this is, you know, is it more than that? And then basically if it is more, add that to our list. Because again, the more that we have like quantifiable results, the better off we are. Last thing is we did place an ad. We actually, it was on our website. We actually did something in the email, and I think there was a Facebook post about student commissioners. I think, I want to say today was the last day for submission. John, do we have, I know we have two, Ellie plus one. So I don't know if there's anybody else that submitted or if we have those two.
Yes, so I believe I got one last one today.
Okay.
I need to forward that to you.
Okay. So
there's one more.
I mean, at the end of the day, the Board of Trustees wanted us to have more, you know, more students. So, Ellie, based on the success of our program last year, you were our guinea pig in a big way, and it paid off. So we will have an expanded student commissioner group starting on October 1st. So I will reach out to those folks that have submitted and we'll kind of go from there. And last but not least, I think the one thing I did work on that I sent to you was an editorial calendar for last year. Lauren, I know you had mentioned it last week. I know last month you didn't want me to do it. I was in my car last night driving to New York. So I kind of put forth like a vision for what that
was. So glad you did. I'm so, and what was sent out looks amazing. Amazing.
We'll see. I had my, you know, but we'll talk about that later. So that's something else. So that is, I guess, it for commissioner reports, unless anybody has anything else to add.
Okay, next. I just want to say, I know it's kind of late because you have to submit it today, but I just wondered on the Metropolitan Water District, if emphasizing like the, I always forget what they're called, the bio swales, is that the right word? The things on Chicago Ave?
Yeah, I think
we'll do
next time because I don't know that much about that.
Okay, because I mean, those are something that were specifically put there for stormwater, and I just thought that might be, I don't know if John can illuminate us a little bit on that, but they've got large drains in them. They're graded so that the water goes in. They're planted with plants specifically to absorb water. So everything about those is to prevent the stormwater from the Des Plaines coming over. So given that was a huge effort, I just thought, and it might just, I mean, I don't think it's a lot of work, but just to sort of highlight that a little bit more, since I would imagine they would be, because I feel like the Parkways for Pollinator program is very emphasized in that, which I think is secondary to the bioswales, if I'm saying that right. So,
yeah, they're rain gardens, but yeah, I think that's a good point.
Yeah, I just don't know. It's due tonight, so I'm not sure we'll be able to get that in. But yes, we did mention the rain gardens. And if anybody can make that better, I mean, again, it's I don't know if I put it online. I will check because I put a lot of stuff online. But like, this is, I think, a living document, because if you think about kind of green ecosystems, it's a document that the more that we can make that better, the next time we have a grant proposal, we can certainly pull from that, right? So copy, paste, copy, paste, copy, paste. So it's not anything that is precious by any means by anybody. I pulled a lot of the documentation that I got from the strategy document, and then Julie had done something that actually is on the climate change, the climate change victory garden website, because the River Forest Sustainability Commission is actually featured on there. So it truly is something that the more that we can add to all the pieces and parts, the more that we, the next time we have a submission, is just easier to do. So we can, you know, kind of take it from there. I think that there is a whole, Susan, I thought you were going with the bioswales. There's a whole thing if what you think about behind, I don't even know the street, Avignon. There we actually put kind of, they actually did do some ground, like they basically did something that basically the water.
The berm. It's called a berm.
Exactly. And then basically on Thatcher and Chicago, they did the same thing. And so I don't know if those are bioswales or what those are, but that's separate from the rain gardens.
Well, the berm is like a little hill, and it goes from Lake Street to, I don't know how far north, but yeah, that was one thing that we did. I don't know. I guess that would be worth including, because that's another thing that was done to stop the water. But the bioswales are different. Those are those gardens that you see along Chicago that are meant to.
And those are featured. There's 14 of them.
Yeah. I didn't mean that they weren't featured. I just thought that if they just could be emphasized a little bit more, because it seems like in specific, the Metropolitan Water District would be most interested in what we've done to help the water. So the, you know, the permeable pavements, which included the bioswales, and then the berm, which as after, I don't think you mentioned that yet.
The berm. I didn't mention the berms because I had no idea how to do that. So
yeah.
I think that we're going to submit it as is.
Okay.
Now, but if we want to add onto that, again, it'll be on the email. I'll make sure that if it's not on our Google Drive, it'll be there, and it's something that anybody can make better and better.
Okay.
God knows it's a living document. I don't know, John, can you speak to the tribute to Julie Moeller? I know that you had given me some updated information with regard to that.
Right, so we actually started working on it today. We had to, it's basically going to be, as you look at the Village Hall, it's going to be to the right of the doorway. There's a little enclosure there, and we put down some pavers that would lead up to it. We had to cut back a bush basically and put pavers there, and it would lead up to the composting container, and the custom sign is going to go right on the wall there. So that should be done probably by the end of the week. If not the end of this week, then next week.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. I'll have to take a picture of it and send it to Julie.
Right, I'll take a picture. And then there'll also be, so we got three of the custom signs that I believe, Lisa, you saw those. And we'll have one down in the break room of the police department, and then one in the firehouse that are going to be placed above where their composting containers are.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So as soon as it's up and in place, if you could take pictures and send us, it would be good to do some sort of like formal, I don't know. I feel like I'm not one for formal, like, you know, kind of ceremony, but some sort of, you know, yay, Julie.
Right.
Once it's all in place. So, you know, crawl, walk, run, let's just get it done. And then let's talk about how we might celebrate it in some way.
Right. We'll have a soft opening at first, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Right. Thank you. Okay, next, can you just give an update on community aggregation, which is, you know, obviously something that is near and dear to our heart, because if we can hit our goals, it actually represents funding for us.
You know, I reached out to them and I haven't heard back. I just emailed literally earlier today, so I don't know if I gave them enough time to give me an update on everything. So I don't really have up-to-date numbers on that at the moment.
Well, can you then send them when you do get them?
Yeah, I'll get them over to you.
Okay, that would be awesome. Thank you.
I'm super interested in seeing those too. I'm curious to see really kind of what the opt-out looks like.
Right. Yeah, I'll get those over to you guys.
Yeah, because the the opt-out numbers had been really low, which I'm sure is because people aren't just like looking at it, because I know there was an initial, there was a lot of questions about it, and I get that. It's there's no easy way to, kind of have people make decisions, particularly at a moment's notice. So, but at the same time, I do think it's good for the community. So I am hoping that we continue to see good rates, such that, it's successful for us. So the sooner that we have information, I think that's important. And that is something that when we get to the editorial calendar, I do think that we do owe the community some sort of update with regard to where we are with community aggregation, like going above and beyond the opt-out and getting into impact. So for example, if we have, I'm making these numbers up completely, but if we have 1,000 households, pardon me, that have opted in, it represents, X number of, of greenhouse gas emissions that we've saved, et cetera. So whatever the impact is, I think that's important in terms of like actually communicating back to the community so they understand why we did what we did and its impact on the day-to-day lives of those folks in our community.
Well, Lisa, I mean, that impact description, it's in the frequently asked questions. I mean, Eric and I worked on that. It's more a matter of, again, it's there, but people's awareness of it is limited, right? You sort of have to push the information out again in different ways. But how long did people have to opt out? I thought we were past the opt-out deadline, but...
We are?
Yeah, we are. We're past it by quite a while now. I want to say,
okay,
4 weeks.
So it's just a matter of whether it has changed since that 6% number that was reported right at the last meeting. And by the way, for those of you who are geeky about these things, that 120 divided by 1998 is 6%. So
so that is fine. Yeah, so I think
it's just a matter of getting an update on that and seeing if there was significantly any more.
Yeah, and I mean, okay, it's kind of the final number as well. Things can change, but
because I do think it's important to double back to the community. And to your point, it was part of the FAQs, but like to basically celebrate it. Congratulations! This is the number of people in the program. This is how it's impacting our community, and make it something that people talk about in a positive way.
Yep.
And I think
I'd also like to make adjustments to the program like now and into, because this is only a year, right?
Exactly.
So like we pretty much need to start immediately promoting, or I guess finding out if we're doing this again, and if so, start putting together our plan.
Exactly. What,
I thought it was for 2 years. No?
Is there like Lisa and Beth and John, is there like is there a measurement of what success looks like with this? Like, is there a something where the village is going to say, yes, let's do this again, this was successful? Do you know what that looks like?
I don't really know what that looks like. This is kind of uncharted territory.
Okay.
Seeing
as I thought this was a 2-year contract, no?
Yeah, it is a 2-year, right.
Okay. So we have a little time, Eric, I think, to think about what the next version looks like and how to tell the story about this one.
Hey, good. For some reason, I thought it was one that's way better.
Yeah, so John, can you ask Eric? Like I would like to know. I mean, granted, okay, so the program's done for this year. We have, we had X% of people did not opt out. Okay, So what does that mean? And what do we hope for next year or 2 years from now? And how do we communicate it in a way that has people very excited about the fact that we as a village are doing this? And so I would expect that Eric might have a point of view. So perhaps you can ask him and get back to us.
Right. Yeah. I think it probably would have a lot to do with the funds we receive and how we use those, and then how that would impact the community, because everyone is paying the same rate as far as dollars go as ComEd. We're making an impact, you know, environmentally, of course, but as far as the community goes, they're paying the same rate. So it kind of comes back to the money we get, how we use those for sustainable programs. And then, you know, I think that success could bolster the argument to just keep it going for years and years and years. You know?
Yeah. And to add on to that, I think this is our only shot to even get close to heading to reducing our carbon footprint. It's really the only thing that will significantly offset it. Not the only thing, but it's the one thing that we can do that really makes a significant impact. And we've signed, you know, the different charters that we're signed into and things like that, like the climate, the Chicago climate. This is the one thing, you know, and maybe that's where I really need to publish this for everyone to see it.
Yeah.
I think that's the other, you know, big thing, a big talking point.
Yeah. To me, like, to build on that, Shannon, I think it's like a double, you know, it's like a two-pronged thing. It's like, by the way, to your point, like, look, by signing on here, this is what we've done to our, like, you know, if these are our goals as a community, and here are the levers we can push, this is the, you know, this is what the impact is of community aggregation. You know, it would be good to get people excited about it. And then to your point, like Lucky Strike Extra, we, you know, given the program, and it would be great to probably explain how it works if we can in a way that makes sense to people, then talk about the dollars. So to me, the dollars and the budgets, because that's where it gets really murky for people. And I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about that, because we have to talk about two things. But I think that the easy thing for people to understand is by opting into green energy versus brown energy, we have saved X number in terms of the carbon footprint. Awesome. And then secondly, you know what, because it's a program that we're incented to participate in, we have, you know, we have some funds, and this is how we're spending those funds, and try to be transparent in a very positive way that gets the community excited to maybe increase their participation rate, you know, and as opposed to make it opt out, you know, kind of get them to all be excited about, you know, not that they would ever go there, but opting in and saying, oh yeah, we should do that. I'm so glad I did that. Or I'm so glad I didn't opt out of that. And like get everybody to really feel good about their choice. So anyway,
can I just say something? I mean, it's not exactly green energy. It seems a little misleading to say that. It's an offset, which is, I mean, we are using, it's not green energy, and then it's being offset by something in Kansas or Nebraska or someplace else. So I thought Julie had presented this as an intermediate stage, and that something that Oak Park is pursuing, which is community solar, is actually a higher level of green, because then we're actually trying to get the own energy that we are consuming to be green. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
I thought we were doing the same thing as, I mean, both of, like, again, John, I guess I would defer to you, but my understanding is it's the same program as Oak Park. And to your point, Susan, I don't think that this should be the end goal, but I do think we have to reinforce it was a good thing for people to do. And then to your point, like, say, where are we taking this? And again, that's where I get into, okay, what, you know, kind of, and again, I'm getting ahead of myself, because that gets into the community outreach that I think we have to do with this program and some of our other programs. So, you know, I hear you, and I think there's probably more that we need to learn so we can craft the appropriate communication.
Yeah, I will just say that it is a hard story to tell because of that indirectness of it, right? That it's the renewable energy credits, and you can't just say we're getting, our energy is renewable, but the credits are, we were told by MC Squared, are associated with wind farms in Illinois. That's what we were told.
Yeah, and I know Oak Park is a community that was on the list of the communities that have this same program. That's not to say they could be doing a bunch of other additional things as well, but they also do this program along with a lot of other communities. So that's what I could say about
that. That is true, but and then they have a pilot program this year to do community solar, which just reading some of the online stuff, there's a lot of confusion over that, but I think they do still have an intent to try to move it more in the direction of actually having their own energy be green, which is-
Yeah, I mean, I think they're not mutually exclusive, right? I mean, you can do both of them. And just, I know we pretty need to move on the agenda, but just one other thing about the aggregation contract, you know, Susan, you said something like somebody from Oak Park said, well, we wouldn't allow them or we didn't allow MC Squared to cherry pick the customers. And I mean, by all means, we can talk to MC Squared about that, but my whole understanding is that the reason that they're able to give the 30,000 or whatever is because of this sort of weird cherry picking thing where they've identified certain accounts that mysteriously somehow they can service for a cost less than ComEd. So there's this difference and it is weird, you know, it's just weird. And so I think that makes it hard to tell the story too, when you're explaining to people, you know, why you're getting this money and some people got the letter and some people didn't, but that assertion by the person in Oak Park, like if there's someone in Oak Park who can explain how they did this and did a contract with MC Squared that didn't involve so-called cherry picking, maybe, you know, you can find out more about that.
Well, the person was David Pope. He was the former village manager, but I can certainly look into that and see how they were able to do it. I mean, maybe just ComEd wildly overcharges us because they can, and that's the whole reason. You know?
I don't know.
I actually think that it's one. I really think that overall it's the same program because they still need to make money and they're a business and they're held to regulation. So I would actually challenge David, like, you mm-hmm. know, David to tell us how they might have done it differently. Mm-hmm. And again, if they do, let us know. But you know, at the end of the day, I think we worked in good faith with MC Squared. I think they were very good partners and they helped us get what to, you know, have this first step. And keep in mind, a couple of years ago we had done this and ComEd, you know, kind of like the dollars changed and it didn't make sense for us to do it. So as a village, we had to pull it back. And so as a village, now it made sense again. So we're trying it again. And yes, to your point, it's a first step. Green energy is certainly something that is going to be a combination of, you know, kind of solar on rooftop at the residential and the institutional and the business section. It's also going to be, you know, kind of being buying credits. It's a combination of things. And, you know, we as a village, we're, 20% the size of Oak Park. So we're always going to do stuff a little bit smaller because we are, you know, we're a volunteer effort than our folks next door. And we'll certainly try to kind of ride the coattails of our sister village as much as we can. And in some ways we exceed them and in other ways, you know, we're going to learn from them. So if we can learn, I'm all for it.
My point wasn't that this was a bad program. It was just more that, you know, as I said, Julie presented this as an intermediate stage, and I don't want us to lose track of that there's other things that we can do too. And, you know, as you said, Beth, that does complicate the messaging even more, but we want to be consistent about that, because were we to do something else, we don't want to go back and say like, oh yeah, we said this was the end all and now we want to push it out more. So it's just, but I think it's a great start, and the only way we would have achieved this in this time frame.
To Susan's point, like, I mean, I don't think any of us think this is the end game. This was like but also something that somebody said earlier is that the solution that every community is using is a combination of things. There is no silver bullet. So no matter what we do, this will be part of the diet to get us there. So, but agree, Susan, like we got to be careful how we message it.
Thank you. Next, River Forest Tree Trails. So thank you to like Beth and Ellie and Nick who made this happen. So, you know, it's an awesome program and we thank you. So,
it was pretty exciting. And where did, oh, there's Ellie. You moved, your square moved. Yeah, it was really, really fun working with Ellie on this and Nick. And, you know, Ellie, please chime in with anything you want to say. But the two main things that I want to say is I think we have some great publicity and promotion out there from different people pushing it out. However, unless Lauren knows something that I don't know, I don't think anybody's actually submitted anything through the email address yet. That doesn't mean people aren't doing it, but I guess what I want to figure out strategy-wise tonight is, well, what else can we do to promote it? And maybe each of us, you know, has some unique angle that every one of us can take on, like one more way of trying to push it out. I mean, I sent it to the Wednesday Journal to Dan Haley, who replied right away and copied his River Forest reporter, who's someone named Maria Maxim, I think, and she just won't get back to me. So if anybody has a connection there or knows like a way to push that along, I know it's appeared in the D90 newsletters. I am going to sort of push that angle a little bit more again through, I actually was talking to Dr. Condon recently, just not necessarily specifically about this, but we touched on this, and I'm going to send it to Anthony Cozy, who's like the official, you know, D90 person that communicates with the teacher sustainability clubs. And I actually thought I might try to send it to the middle school science teacher and see if he would give the kids like extra credit or something for doing it. But it would be great, like if each of us could like pick one more thing to do in terms of promotion through whatever your personal network is. I'm not a social media person, so I don't have like a lot of strength there. Maybe Ellie, you can push that angle more. But the other thing I want to ask the group is whether we might consider sort of extending the sort of deadline to mid-October or even the end of October, because I don't really know what else to do to get people to actually tell us that they did it, right? This was kind of my concern from the beginning, is that we put together this great thing, and unless we created some way for people to let us know, we would just never know the great impact that we're having. I mean, everyone who sees it says, wow, this is really great. So I'm open to ideas, and Ellie, if you have heard anything from your friends about it or have ideas, please chime in.
So I actually have talked to the middle school science teacher.
Oh, Mr. Cadlick?
Are you talking about Mr. Cadlick?
Yeah, you did? Okay, great.
Yeah. Sorry, am I connecting? But he said that he's going to give his students an assignment for it, and
yay,
I'm going to try to push it.
Yeah, great. They do these
extra
great.
Credit,
like perfect.
20. Yeah. And then I've also been pushing it on, like, social media.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what else we can do other than like having it in newsletters.
You know, the library's open now. You know, and I know people are, you know, visiting there, you know, we haven't been able to in so long. I'm wondering if, you know, I can contact them to see if we can you know, put some flyers up on their bulletin boards, or even have maybe just like 10 printed out at a time where people checking out can see them. And
that's a great idea, Lauren. Actually, I did talk to Sue Quinn, and she told me they were going to print some out and put them at the desk. I haven't been by personally to see if they're there. But I did talk to her about it, and I suppose somebody could go by and see if they're really there. And John, I know that you were going to put them out at Village Hall too, or John Pape said that you would do that too for those who come. I mean, maybe it could be sort of more aggressively pushed out to anybody who is actually coming for something, is to just hand them a copy.
Yeah, we can get some right up at the front desk. Sure.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, and if we want to like extend it to October 31st, I mean, I think that's fine. We just have to let people know though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the sheets are already printed the way they are, and I would probably just leave that alone. But on the website, you know, we could change it on the website. It could go out again in the October e-newsletter saying, you know, you still have a chance or something.
Exactly. So if we want to do that, that's fine. I think we just have to communicate it out. So I would say do it.
Do you guys have a hashtag where like if people, if their kid like, you know, wanted to take a picture of themselves with their mm-hmm. filled out form, mm-hmm. they could I don't know how that stuff works.
Yeah, that's what it's on the side of the flyer. Ellie, what was the hashtag? I forget.
Hashtag RF Tree Trails.
Right. So you would have to tell us if anybody posts to there. I'm still trying to figure out how to set up an Instagram account. It's like, I have to choose a username. I'm so afraid to choose one, you know, because it's like, so yeah, Ellie, you can, I guess, what would you do? You'd type that hashtag in and just see if anybody put something up that way.
I can check periodically if anyone
with
it. I think to me what this shows is just the, I don't know, you know, it's people are really busy, right? And just the amount of effort that has to go into, you know, visibility and communications and marketing, like it's almost the equivalent amount of effort that went into like creating it, but it's necessary because you create something you want people to actually take advantage of it. And I also think it's, you know, it's a big word of mouth thing. It's like you almost have to like personally corral people or something. I know Bob Zimmerman said he put it up like on a River Forest neighbors Facebook page, and Lisa, I know you put it up on some River Forest Facebook page, so I think it's out there, and we might just need to give it a little more time. But mm-hmm. I also think it's almost like you have to sort of say to people, hey, remember to turn it in, or you know, that personal touch.
Yeah. I also noticed when I was checking it if it had come out, I typed in, you know, like a Google search, River Forest Tree Trails, and it doesn't come up that way.
Oh.
And I don't know a lot about this, but there's a way that when you post something on a website,
you put tags with it or something.
You have to embed a tag, and it must not be embedded there. So if you're not going in the right way, and you know, personally, I find the sustainability stuff a little bit hard to find because you have to go into commissions, it's just sustainable. You have to hit a certain hyperlink, and then you get to tree trails. If we could make it easier to find, then I think
I just typed it into Google. It does come up now.
I wasn't
to that trees page, I guess, where you can click the link to the PDF.
Okay, maybe something changed. And I wasn't doing it in Chrome either. I was doing it in Safari. I don't know if that makes a difference, but okay.
I mean, yeah, I don't think we really have the capacity to you know, do this village wide, but I guess if any of us, you know, personally want to go up and down our own blocks or something like that and stick one in everybody's mailbox or people you know, something like that.
Yeah, but I think the more important thing, and this is the thing that'd be interesting to know, is if people have done it, it's like, it's almost like secondary if they turn in the sheet.
Right. The turning in, though, was just our way of trying to find out whether people have done it, right? Because how else will we know?
I hear you. So
you were making it easy by taking a picture too and just email it in. But I did a Google search just now, and it might be embedded in your cookies already because it's on your computer.
It'll
come up on mine.
Okay, so John, is that something that John Pape could look into?
Well, I was just on the River Forest website and did the search function, and I just put in tree trails and it comes right up if you're on our website.
But I think they're talking about if you go to it from like Google.
Oh, yeah.
Just the general internet. But would John or Sarah maybe know about how to, it's something about like you have to do something to optimize how it pops up in search engines.
It gets into keywords and what those
keywords. You just said,
have to optimize it for keyword search, separate and distinct from paid search, which we wouldn't do. So we wouldn't do paid search. But certainly keyword search would be something that we should look into. But again, Jonathan Pape and Sarah would have to look into that. So can you ask them?
Well, I can ask them, but it's the second one when I just did it. So I don't know. I don't know why everybody's getting different results. So I just did it on Google.
I'm assuming that
Sorry,
my Wi-Fi is really bad. So I'm assuming that as more people, the link will come up faster. Because like if the actual link is more popular.
Yeah,
that's
true. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, well, you know, so if everybody could just keep pushing it out through their channels and let's give it some time and, you know, by September 30th, if we don't really have like a significant number, then Lisa, I would say put it in the October e-newsletter again and just say the deadline's been extended and we can, you know, change it on the website. I don't really think that it's, I don't know, I'm not sure if it's really worth changing the activity sheet itself. I'd have to go back to Nick and repost it and all of that, so.
Yeah. No, I just did it too, and it does show up. It's probably number 5 or 6 because you have other states. So I actually think that it's, you know, again, I would just say we should extend it to October 31st, and I'd be happy to talk to Susan and get that done. That's Susan, Sarah, sorry.
I'm sorry, Sarah Pfeiffer?
Yes. Yeah, I can talk to her.
Okay.
We can wait on that.
Okay.
Where
are we? Well, Ellie, thanks for taking the initiative to talk to Mr. Cadlick. I actually think something like that will probably, you know, have a bigger impact on the target age group getting it done.
That'll be like a couple classes of 20 kids, which will be good.
Yeah.
Okay, the next topic is discussion of the budget. And I can share my screen. I basically did, thank you very much. I saw that a lot of people kind of provided input today. And based on that input, I will just basically tell you, it looks like obviously River Forest Tree Trails composting is number one. An outdoor education program is number two. Here. And number three right now is the AmeriCorps program and seeing if we can get like a resource there. But what I will do, and you know, because you guys have all done it online, is I don't know if it makes sense to go through it now or if I would just summarize here kind of the things that make the most sense and then kind of push for getting approval from the board, because anything we do ultimately needs to get approval from the board. I mean, again, River Forest Tree Trails, 3 months of composting, kind of not an issue, but any sort of outdoor education program or bringing in some sort of resource that could do more work for us would obviously be a considered purchase and something that we'd have to get buy-off for the village. So again, let me summarize that and I'll send out the results of the study and your input and kind of go from there.
That's great. Thank you, Lisa.
Okay. And then last but not least is the editorial calendar. Lauren did bring up last time we met that we are trying to every month highlight the things for the River Forest Sustainability Commission. We get 2 mentions, precious 2. In the email newsletter, obviously the website is something that we have ongoing, and then we can certainly take advantage of Facebook and Instagram. So I just literally said, okay, here's some of the stuff that makes sense to do based on the time of year. Taking into account the fact that we have, again, 2 mentions in email. Initially every year, anybody who's responsible for a certain program should go in and make sure that the website content is up to date because that does change. I think, Lauren, you found out when you went in for composting some, cost information needed to be updated and that kind of thing. So the more that we can help there, and if we do that every January, that's cool. And then beyond that, take a look at that editorial calendar. Get back to me with any thoughts or ideas. And that's something that we can certainly, you know, kind of work together to map the content and even give it to Sarah ahead of time. So, you know, I can imagine if I'm Sarah and if I say, here's kind of at least the calendar and here's the content, then she doesn't have to hound us for it. She doesn't have to feel bad that she might have missed us or we didn't do it or whatever. But I really did try to kind of cover all the programs. I did do a lot of creative liberty on some of them. Like, for example, I would say on plastics, I did a Google search and found out some stuff that we can certainly write something about. But again, I think the next step is if everybody's comfortable with that editorial calendar, and quite frankly, I'm all for it. If every year it's all about the same copy we put out, like, you know, this March, it's gonna be new to 80% of the people, because some of them will remember and they'll be like, oh, the other folks wouldn't have seen it. So I'm totally cool with just, you know, kind of like repurposing content, but I do want to make sure the content that we do put in accurately reflects the key information that we want to share for kind of our committee. And actually that I don't know, because one of the things I did add on, and Carrie, we didn't talk about that, is your Meatless Mondays. Do you want to talk about that now, or do you want to, maybe we can cover that off next week, next month, I should say?
That's fine. I didn't know it was all part of that initiative to see. I guess what I'm learning today is actually getting the word out and marketing on anything with residents is tricky. And so, you know, if, like you were saying, some of these, if the students want to do this in conjunction, you know, I was thinking it would be recipes, and I guess Instagram seems like the best way to do stuff like that with hashtags and things like that. But I was almost seeing it as, I don't know how to measure everything, but being able to put recipes out for people and like ideas. I was also thinking this might be even bigger, but have, you know, some of the grocery stores have some kind of specials for Meatless Mondays, or, you know, the restaurants, you know, do something like that. Mm. Now I'm a neophyte here, so I don't know how to get these words. I'm not a marketing person and I'm not a social media person really. So I guess I have to learn quick about all that kind of stuff. But it seems like that's our only way to get information out.
It is a prominent way. And so again, you know, if you do see the Meatless Monday in October right now, that's a placeholder. Like, again, there's no pressure for any of this.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So don't, you know, I had an open spot. So I'm like, oh, Meatless Monday. Awesome. But again, Carrie had put forth, we know one of the big issues, one of the big contributors for greenhouse gases, obviously, is cattle. So the more, you know, if we can encourage our residents to one day a week, you know, maybe do a plant-based meal, that's not a bad thing to do. And it does work for our, it does contribute to our overall goal. And it's something that, you know, potentially, Shannon, we can measure over time, once we understand the number of, you know, potentially meals that, you know, are out in the public that are, you know, maybe it was, you know, before it was steak, now it's, you know, or chicken, now it's not. So that is kind of something that is a new program that, again, nascent, we'll figure out kind of where it goes.
I also was wondering, and my kids are out of the high school now for a few years, and I don't even know, you know, school, I don't even know if anybody's going there. But when things get back on track, I do know that they have a culinary program over there. And, you know, that was somebody that I would target to talk to about also, you know, doing something like that. You know, it was fairly large when my kids went there. And I don't know, Ellie, do you know anything if there's a culinary program still at the high school?
Yeah, there's a class for culinary arts. And I can, if you want, I can talk to, I can reach out to some people and see if they can do anything for more plant-based.
Is the high school in session? Are people there? I don't even know. I'm totally out of the loop with the school.
It's all online, but it's the culinary arts class is still happening just at home.
Okay. Well, yeah, and if you want to reach out to somebody, I can also reach out to whoever runs that program and see if they would want to. I mean, they might even be incorporating some kind of vegetarian meals already. So, but then I just thought people could post pictures like on Instagram with a hashtag, you know. I don't know. I don't know how to generate enthusiasm or get the word out. And part of me is wondering if we need part of that budget to be like a marketing budget to incentivize people somehow. Even like the tree program, which I think is wonderful, you know, like maybe there's a whole block incentive to get a Parkway for Pollinators garden, you know, whoever, whatever block can show that they have the most carbon emissions from their trees. I don't know. I mean, but I don't know how to get these words out, you know. Good ideas are only good if you can really get it out there somehow. So I'm a bit of a lot.
I mean, I think I had, you know, I had, maybe I'd mentioned that somewhere on that list of ideas, the budget ideas that kind of, I don't know, in a way you sort of feel like you hate to spend your budget on like communications and marketing and stuff like that. My experience with the tree trails thing is just, it's a lot of time and effort to do it, right? So if you get like an AmeriCorps person or you get an intern or something, then, you know, they can, you know, do the additional legwork or something. But yeah, there is a part of me that is like, well, some of this, you know, it's like, I try to remember every day to do something, but then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I forgot to put it on mom mail, or I forgot to, you know, because we're all like doing various things. We're not like really, you know, be able to dedicate like a lot of hours to pushing it. So, I mean, I think that's worth thinking about, like maybe, Lisa, when you write it up, the AmeriCorps thing, I think most people seem to think that couldn't happen in this first cycle anyway, because I think the deadline just passed, but maybe that during the first year we could spend the money on something similar to that, right? It might just be hiring a student or, you know, whether you call it an internship or not, but you know, engaging some project help along that, the lines of increasing our capacity to get stuff done.
Okay, well, I think that is it for our agenda. Does anybody have anything else they would like to put, you know, talk about, share?
I just want to jump back 1 second to the thing about the tree trails. Is I think that if Ellie's successful in getting Corey Cadlick's group to do, you know, I don't know what is the minimum number, but maybe, you know, me, Ellie, and Lisa can make some kind of an executive decision near the end of the month, because I don't know what is that minimum number. You know, if we get 15 or 20, if he really pushes like the students to do it, there is also, I think, reason to just wrap it up when we said we were going to, if there's a semi-significant number of people who do turn it in, so that they feel like, oh, they pushed for this deadline and they got chosen. And that doesn't prevent the activity from continuing to be out there, you know, for people to do. So I would just say that Lisa, Ellie, and I will just put our heads together close to the end of the month and see.
Can I mean, do we have, is there a Montessori school still in River Forest?
Keystone Montessori, I don't know.
It's on North Avenue.
I mean, I wonder if some of these schools or daycare would be interested in just having this. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they're always looking for activities. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful outside, you know, it's an outside thing. But maybe that's an outreach.
Hmm.
place to talk to people like that.
Yeah. Actually, I think St. Luke's is still in session, come to think of it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're still going to class, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think that Mosaic Montessori is as well.
Yes, they are. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and we're part of that community. I can send it there.
I could send it to Trinity if you'd like.
Sure. Who just said they could send it to Trinity? Lisa? Okay.
So, Beth, I was thinking about, do you remember chain letters?
Yeah.
I was thinking about doing it with my girls this weekend and then posting a picture on RF Parents or RF Neighbors and just saying, you know, we did the tree trails. It was awesome. I nominate, you know, whatever, 5 different people, and I can tag them and say, post your picture and tag 5 other people or something like that. And I mean,
yeah,
I'm not really an influential individual, but I'll put it out there.
Yeah. You know, I actually think that it's things like that that will get it rolling, right? Like it's not the anonymous post on a website or whatever. Yeah. It's that personal, like Ellie talks to Mr. Cadlick, you know, you talk to your friends, that kind of thing, the word of mouth. And especially like if you do it and then, you know, further show people in your network. I guess I should drag my son into doing it. So he's always a reluctant participant in mom's activities. So but I'm also not a social media person at all. So I don't know. I don't have any followers, right?
Well, I mean, me neither. But I'm gonna put it out there. I'm gonna put it out there.
Okay, thank you.
So like my post if you see it. Okay. I'm gonna tag Shannon. Else? All right, then our next meeting is October 13th, 2020. Does that work for everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and now we need a motion to dismiss. Because I was totally like, you know, yesterday I listened on my way to New York to the Board of Trustees meeting and they actually had a motion to dismiss. So I feel like we must be like, you know, do our parliamentary procedure.
We're delinquent. I make a motion to dismiss.
I'll second.
Mm-hmm. And do we all say?
Aye.
Okay, meeting adjourned.
Actually, 9:20 New York time, 8:20.
8:20.